this now.
Yeah, they did a really good job this year.
Much better than last year. You can see that they Namdu Lekach Mishana Shavua.
So, Laws of Purim. Laws of Purim.
Laws of Purim. Purim! It's almost Purim, Rabbi Sai. It's already, what is it? Gimel, Dalet, Dada already?
What?
Shouting about Purim? What do you mean? You have to shout about
Purim. Did you class Wednesday and Thursday?
Wednesday wasn't here. Thursday.
Friday.
When? What?
I missed Wednesday.
Wednesday wasn't here. Thursday I came and the door was locked, so I went.
Okay.
I don't know why or what. That's what they say. Maybe someone would have told me, but whatever. That's the story. Okay. Yafemot, Besedel, so we learned. Right. We learned the laws of Tanit Esther. Very good. Now we're going to learn about Chiyuv Kriyat HaMegillah Ovo Bet Seifim Tafresh Pei Zayin. The laws of hearing the Megillah. It is Chayav. What exactly, how do you do it exactly? That quote. Okay, here it is. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down from the Gemara in Megillah, Chayav Adam Likrot HaMegillah Balayla Velachzor Velishmata Bayom. A person is chayav to read the Megillah at night and to return and read it again during the day. Veshelayla zmana kol alayla veshelyom zmana kol hayom me'anetzachama ad sof hayom. At night, its time is all night from Tzedek Kochavim until Alod HaShachar. And the day, lechatchila, the time is from the Netzachama, from the sun coming up, sun rising, until Shkia.
What about in between
Alot HaShachar and Netzachama? The Avad is Yotz. If someone read after Alot HaShachar before Netzachama, it's Yotz. It doesn't have to do it again. But Techatchila, you don't do that. Okay? So let's say you're flying that day, and the time for boarding, okay, is by Netzachama. And on the plane, it's going to be a little bit complicated, whatever. You want to do it more calm. So you could do it in the airport, in the shul, or whatever. If you're in the outside, in the shul, other countries, sometimes the shul, or a corner somewhere, you're more calm. You could do it also after Alot HaShachar, with the bracha, hakol. But, can.
It counts as the day or the night one?
The day.
Day one.
Okay. If you miss the night, once it's Alot HaShachar, you miss it. Yeah. Okay. No. If someone started the Megillah right by Shkia, it's okay, but he shouldn't make a bracha. He has to start. When does he make a bracha? When it's enough time to finish the Megillah before Shkia. So let's say the fastest I ever lay in the Megillah is about 25 minutes. It's very fast.
Really fast.
It's fast.
Takes more than 15
about the door.
You have to have someone who hears well listening to you, because otherwise it's not yet. It's very quick.
Normally it takes like 45-50 minutes.
If you read calmly, 40 minutes, yeah, that's what it takes. Calmly, even 35 minutes, you can do it not fast, but for the more. Not less, but sometimes I have to read four times, one after the other. I call it Yatzalikval, I call it Chorim, any Koch.
So,
yeah. So if anyone needs.
Ashkenazi.
Ken, as, yeah. Sophie. Sada, Yatem, Yeah, good. Bet. Yofi. Halacha bet. And Shofesif bet. In Shulchan Aruch. Amivatlim. It's brought down where? In a Brais also. In the Gemara over there. Mivatlim. Talmud. Torah. Lishmoa. Mikra Megillah. Kavachom. Lishan. Mitzot. Torah. Shkulam. Nitchim. Yipnei. Mikra Megillah. She'en. Lecha. Davar. Shnitchim. Mikra Megillah. Nipanav. Chutz. He met mitzvah, she'en lo kovrim, she'a pogir lo kovro, tchila, v'achad yash kore. It says here, in Shekhar, it's brought down in the Braisa, that if a person has a chavruta, is the time that he learns. He doesn't learn. He goes and reads the Megillah. Right? You nullify all your learning, all the mitzvahs. You don't do any mitzvah. You only do now Kriyat Megillah. There's only one mitzvah that the person will have to do instead of Kriyat Megillah, and it's only in a case where he can't do them both, which is Met Mitzvah. If there's a person who died and there's no one to take care of him, he's a lone person, and you're the man who's dealing with it, you're the man of the Chelel Kadisha, or you're the only one around, or whatever, and it's right before Shkia, and now, Ken, En Mali Nita Met, the best thing is to bury as soon as possible. Someone once said, if a person knew how important it is to be buried as soon as possible, he would wait by his grave till he dies and roll in. So he right away is buried. Okay, and it's very a lot of separate from the neshama, when the neshama is out of the body, mm-hmm. and the body is laying around not buried, because then all the chitzonim could latch on. Okay, so that's why everyone should write in their will. Bury me as soon as possible. Don't wait for any of my children in the chutzlaris. Don't wait for anything. Just bury me as soon as possible. Minimum time from death to burial.
You know the story of the burial of in the United States
of Moshe Feinstein.
Feinstein.
His Yotzeit is coming up. Tzayin Adar.
Yeah. You know the story that
test sign.
It was on his burial day. He was supposed to be buried the same day of Purim. And there was an avreich who was wondering, does he go to make his sudat on Purim or Levaya? He was wondering, which is he going to do? The both important was going to go to Levaya, go to Sudat Purim.
He goes, my clients.
Yeah. And, because he was supposed to do the Sudat as early as possible. Because close to the Tfilah as possible.
Right.
So, later that day, he started getting a headache. Got worse and worse. Akamo didn't help. Optic didn't help. Nothing helped there. For 4 or 5 days, he had this terrible headache. Nothing helped him. Doctor said, I don't know what to do with you anymore. He talked to his wife, says, maybe you insulted somebody who is a descendant of Melech David. Because it says in Gemara, somebody who is pogea b'kavod, Melech David, or in your sentence will get headaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I said, who? Me? Who are they? Then they were wondering, he said, wait a minute. Then he remembered that Feinstein was a descendant of Melech David. He had this pondering, is he going to go to Levaya or to the Suda?
Uh-huh.
So the Rav said, you go to his grave and you ask what you apologize now. He went there with a minyan apologized, and the headache went away immediately.
Okay. Anyway, so this is the only halacha. If you're the man of the Chevra Kadisha and you have a mitzvah either to bury, you don't have time for both. It's either bury the mace as soon as possible and there's no one else dealing with it, or read the Megillah, then you're allowed to bury the mace. But if you have time for both, you first read the Megillah, then you do the mace. Or, I'm sorry, you first do the mace, then you do the Megillah. But yeah, but you could do them both, so they don't buy it. Okay. Yeah, it brings down over here. That even a big shear of 100 people, 200 people, in once a week, and Viduk falls on the week of Purim, you nullify the shear, and you go read the Megillah, B'tzibu, okay? In a big time, as soon as possible, okay? Now, we also know that a person should, even a person who has a small minion in the house, Kavua, it's better to go and do the Kriyat Megillah in a shul where there's a lot of people, unless it's the shul that you usually daven in, so then you don't have to go to find a bigger shul. But if you don't care where you daven, okay, so it's a big mitzvah to go and say the Megillah in a big shul with a lot of people. Why? Because the Rova Madrat Melech, it's a mitzvah to praise Hashem in public in a big crowd. The bigger the crowd is, the better it is. Okay. Okay, so that's why, if you don't really care where you're going, right? So then go to a big shul. If you care, you want to go to your shul or whatever, to your rav, so that's a different story. Then, of course, you're allowed to do that too. So, now we're talking about Din Tafresh Pechet, Din Kachim, or Kafim Chalam,
and Shul Binyon. It's a big Knesset where there's a lot of horsing around and a lot of firecrackers and if your order is a big Knesset, maybe smaller.
You could hear. You could hear the whole. Obviously, yes.
Seriously,
yeah, that's my concern.
Right. If you have a chashash that you might not hear, and also it's a balagan, and you're not focusing and whatever, so then you could go to a different, even
when
a small minute.
People talking, horsing around.
Right. The whole point is to go to somewhere where you're going to be kavod for the melech, and not to be disgraced for the king. So obviously, if it's a shul that's going balagan, and there's 100 kids running around and stuff like that. So,
and
Kutcher Chesed, here in the yeshiva, they don't have firecrackers at all. They allow kamptonim a little bit and groggers.
Groggers, Mela.
Okay, only in the first Tama and the last Tama.
Remember the plastic with a hammer? Beep, beep, beep.
Yom Atzmaut.
No, it was supposed to be on Purim instead of before all the boom booms.
And there's a guy here, he's a carpenter, Yitzchak Cohen. He made a grogger that can make you deaf. It's very heavy. I can hardly you can turn it. Makes a lot of noise.
Yeah.
You need muscles to turn it.
Yeah. He's a strong guy. I mean, I'm not such a. I said I'm not all day.
He can only use it twice.
Only twice.
Only twice.
Once in the shul, I leaned in the shul last year. A lot of people, blessed of shul, and doesn't exist anymore. That minion. But at night it was balagan. Not a big balagan. Each hammer was maybe 5-6 seconds. And no firecrackers, of course. Not at all. Didn't let. I told them I'm going to leave the shul in the middle of laning if there will be a firecracker. So there weren't any. It frightened them. And in the morning, there was no hammers, no rash at all. Not at all. We just ran through. It was very good. So at night it took us an hour. And in the daytime it took us 35 minutes. That was awesome. Yeah, it's very tiring for the Bar Koyre. It's all these boom boom and everything, and you're focusing. And it's brought down. And the minhag was to hit on to have a piece of wood that says on it Haman, and that's what you bang on. Not to do it all balagan, but
the older
minhag became balagan.
The older minhag was a piece of sole leather.
And you have it on your shoe.
Or on your own shoe, or sandal, or piece of leather. You write with chalk on your hamal, and then you
erase
that,
it. It gets erased. Yeah. Very interesting.
When I was a kid, I remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. So, there's a law now. It's brought down in the Mishnah. The first Mishnah of Masechet Meir, I just learned this. It says, Krachim u'kofim chomai mot Yeshua binun. Cities which are surrounded Choma, a wall, from the days of Yeshua Binun, even though today they're not surrounded with a wall, we read on the 15th of Adar, even if it's in Chutz La'aretz, and even if it doesn't have Asara Batlanim, okay? But as long as it was surrounded in order for people to live in it. Okay? But if it was surrounded for other reasons, or horses, I don't know, for what, not for people to live in, it's not considered. So the Maisa, in Chutz La'aretz, we don't have cities like that we know about. And in Eretz Yisrael, we have one city which is for sure, it's called Yerushalayim. You heard of that place? And there's other places in Eretz Yisrael which are stuff fake. Right? And they do 2 days. The first day with a bracha they lay in, and the second day without a bracha. So they do this Tzfat, this Tveria. Tveria was for sure it had a wall before Yeshua Binu.
Mm-hmm.
The only suffix is, doubt is, that it had only 3 walls, and the 4th wall was the Kinneret. And there's a machlokes, what is a wall? A wall is physically a wall where no one could see you, or a wall that enemies cannot come in. So if it's just enemies cannot come in, so the water is a wall, and they have to lay in at 15. And if a wall means a wall, so then they don't have 4 walls. Not surrounded, so therefore you can't. You have to lay in the 14th. So, therefore, since it's a safek, Akko also safek. Yafo, right? There's other cities. Which is safek, and therefore you land there, you dalet is the main day, and also they do the second day.
Yafo, like four walls.
Okay?
Four walls all around.
Aslama, what's the safek over there?
Maybe because the port was open.
Oh, maybe, but I know they do the 14th and the 15th.
Yeah.
Okay. Yerushalayim basically is the only city. And not only Yerushalayim, anywhere only which houses are connected one after the other, they continue is from Yerushalayim. They lane on the 15th. That's on Yerushalayim, that's what we do also.
He was in Shaharai Tzedek on Purim.
And he went?
From the porch.
If you're able to see.
Looking ritual at Tov Yerushalayim.
Yeah, even today, if you're on top, you could see. There's a big porch you could see. Right, and another rule that even if there's no continuation of houses, but there's a break of a mi. Not more than a mil. A mil is how much is in a
kilometer?
About 1 kilometer, yeah? If there's a mil break and you could see, so then you could read also. There's a machloket, only one neighbor in Shlaim is a machloket. It's called Ramot. The Ramot, which is right near Shmon and Navi's Kever. Machloket, some people do on the 15th. 14th, and that's why I don't want to live there. You're knocking your neighbor's door, and you're shouting, No, we don't do it today, leave.
What's the shalom in the Samoch? It's near?
It's near. It's not Samoch.
It's for sure no houses.
Huh?
It's for sure no houses.
No, there's a dog thing in the bottom over there by Sanelia, but I don't think it's. There's the eight that to build houses, all the roads over there. No, it doesn't make a difference. It's only that Ramot. I don't know what it's called. It's after Ramot Purim. It's Dalet, maybe, I think it's called.
No, that's the Shalom?
Only one Ramot. All the rest are considered Yerushalayim. Yeah. It's Nire. All the rest are Nire. That's when not Nire. It's not even Samoch and not Nire. It's Machlokes. And Ashkenazim and also some Sfardim they do on the 15th. Some people do on the 14th. Who's that?
Yeah, one second.
Top? Okay. Really, there's a few reasons why from the days of Yeshua Binun? Master, what happened? Why from the days of Yeshua Binun? What's the big deal? Where's Yeshua Binun come here? It's talking about the Chai de Esther. It's how many years after Yeshua Binun? It's about 800 years, 800, almost 900 years after Yeshua Binun. About 900 years. What's the whole story over here? So Rabbeinu Avada Bar Tanura, Mishnah, brings down three reasons why from the days of Yeshua Binun. The first reason that Yeshua Binun brings down here is that it should be like, since in the Megillah the 15th was in Shushan, there was another day of party, right? In Shushan Abira. Right, and the Anshei Knesset Yudalet decided there will be 2 days. Yudalet all around in Shushan will be 15. So they wanted to give cover. So they said all the cities which are from the days of Shushan also will be 15. But there was a problem because in Eretz Yisrael, you know what it was then? Nothing. Everything was destroyed. It was between the first Beis Hamikdash. It was the end right before the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. There was nothing here. There was no city. So it would have been a disgrace for Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we do. The days of Yeshua Binun, to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael, that's one reason. Okay. There's another reason. If I remember. The other reason is Yeshua Binun. I don't remember. Good. Tell Hashem, I hope I'll see it again tomorrow or today, and then I'll tell you tomorrow. I don't remember. It's in the Mishnah, it's brought down in the Mishnah.
So people don't put together a minyan and go to different places in Yerushalayim. I mean, you could go to your shul, go to another shul, but in terms of saying Yerushalayim is a Jewish city, and we can go anywhere we want, we don't do that.
Why not?
Because we're not allowed to be in certain areas of the city.
And almost the whole city is okay. Almost
even
the whole
East Jerusalem.
Of course.
Do people go there?
People live there.
I'm in East Jerusalem.
What?
We'll live in East Jerusalem.
But you know what I'm talking about. There are certain places where I didn't think Jews went to.
Yeah, but even though Jews don't live in those areas, and some places Jews don't go, it's still considered part of Yerushalayim. And still it's,
so we could go there and read the Megillah if you want.
Yeah, and by, yeah. If you want to, you might want to have a gun with you sometimes.
If you don't hear the Megillah, is that a problem?
Yeah.
With your Jewish life? How is that a problem?
You're over on the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the Megillah. If you don't do it, you didn't do the mitzvah.
You missed it for that year.
You missed it. Chaval to miss it. Why to miss it? It's a beautiful mitzvah.
But it doesn't count unless you hear it live.
Live. 100%. Not online, not on the radio, not a... on the phone, not from microphone either. You hear the person like, that's so difficult.
No.
A lot of people, they go around the hospitals and they reach people who can't get out of bed. And they admit so. Yeah. Anywhere else, they read on the 15th, on the 14th, right? Says here like this. Yeah. Anywhere else, they read on the 14th. Very good. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch Shavua, "Mi shedilo al kol tzvav v'neochel kol yiftor v'nidal v'yudal." V'chein lefer gemat shenu chay avatar v'davar v'yudal 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 katzal. V'chatchila, if you are Yerushalmi, wow, interesting. If you are Yerushalmi, right, and you want to go read for someone outside the Yerushalayim, you're not keeping that Purim, you're just reading for them. Then, chatchila, you shouldn't do that, but the avad, you can do that. He's yoytzer. So that reminds you that one year I keep Yerushalayim every year. And one year I went all the way down to the Negev, in the middle of the stand somewhere, middle of nowhere. There was a bunch of soldiers. She's doing a targir with their tanks and the other things that are all around me like that. And I was in the middle and I read for them. So I didn't know. So chatchila, you don't do that, but I guess there was no one else to do, so of course you could do that. Yeah? And I told one of the guys to make the bracha, not me. So I just read. Okay. Okay. So we said already, so a place which is a suffix, which is not sure, if it's surrounded with a wall or not, so you do 2 days. The first day you do regularly, you daled, regular, you read the Megillah with the Bracha, you get drunk, everything very good, Matanot Levenim, Mishlach Manot, everything. And the second day, you do everything also. Again, you get drunk again, everything again. It's awesome. You want to go live in Tveria? It's fast. Where do you want to go?
Terrible. And who wants to do that? Who wants to get drunk?
And, yeah, you don't really have to get drunk. You have to drink more than you used to. You're yetze. And you do Matanot Levyonim, you do Mishlach Manot, and the whole thing again. And they read the Megillah with the Bracha. So, and I was in France, there, the shul there. They had reading non-stop going the whole day. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people. Mash, full shoes. Over and over. Oh, it's huge. In France, very nice. In Paris somewhere, I don't know. I don't know where it was. as long as they donate well, yeah, that's the main thing. So, yeah.
There are two places of tzedakah in a shul for a poor. What are the two plates called?
The what?
The two plates for tzedakah.
Two plates?
Yeah, two. You know, it's two plates.
One is we do before Megillah laying. We do what's called chatzita shekel. Give Ashkenazim, you give as much as you want, at least a half a shekel. Three half shekels. Usually you use it. By Sfaradim, it's, I don't know how much is it this year. It's 40 something shekels. I mean, it depends how much the silver it costs. It's worth.
How many grams of silver is that? You gave a figure last year.
And it was a 9 grams? That's a 9 grams.
I thought one was tzedakah for the Jews of the city and one was tzedakah for something else.
In Purim itself, you have to give matanot la'evyonim. Matanot la'evyonim, you don't have to give it on Purim. You give it before Purim. You tell the person this is yours on Purim. You give as much as you want. And you have to give at least two gifts to two different aniyim. How much? As much for a person to buy a meal. 20 shekels, like that. Okay, that's erech mashkoza. That's the minimum. And there's a mitzvah to give to whoever comes to you and asks, without asking questions. Yes, so you should have always at least something in your pocket to give everyone. And I have a friend told me, he went to, in England, he was collecting money. He said, there's a guy on Purim, there's people, rich, very rich people, they're sitting at the table on the Purim Sula, a box, kacha, full of money, full, whatever comes in, give a lot, give everyone who comes. But you should add to everyone who comes, big mitzvah, and besides that, you should give to whoever needs, if you can, if you're able to give, why not? It's a mitzvah.
In Baltimore, I asked my rabbi how that worked, and he said that poor people who are identified by the rebbeim in the community, like through their congregations, that's how they kind of know who they are. They give checks for hundreds of dollars. And nobody gets less than $200.
It's very nice. It's very nice. Very respectful.
Very respectful. I was very surprised because I'm thinking that, well, how do you give poor people $18? But I can understand how you can give poor people $200, you know, to make them feel important.
Also respectful, right?
Yeah.
For the Purim Suda, given that it will be on Friday, when's the latest we can have it?
You start before Chatzot. You can have it until
No, because you have a
yeshiva is to assign and making a suda from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
Here?
Not here, not over here.
Still, last time Friday.
It wasn't in Zviv.
Last time on Friday.
Yeah, Zviv?
Yeah,
for the men?
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
When? Friday, last time was on Friday.
No, it was in Bet Baruch.
Even on Friday?
Yeah, my daughter's school. The women were in Zviv.
That was
a Chob Avadia, the Geula. You know where Har Tzvi is? The big shul? Right near there. Right near Har Tzvi. Right near.
It's not so far from you. Walk up by
Har Tzvi. Yeah, definitely. From you, it's 15 minutes.
Beginning of the world, but for me.
Okay. My daughter learns in that school. Yeah, I have a big ulam downstairs. It's a girl's. Kids, so yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go there, but there's a poem, so they're there for the yeshiva. Yeah, I was there that, on Friday. When it happened. Yeah,
so when should it start? Given it's Friday.
You doing it at home?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. How long do you take a suda?
Before 12. I want to start.
Just you have to finish. So when is it finished? That one is the start. When is it finished?
When, right.
Enough time for you to take a shower and get dressed for the shul. Shabbat is 5, right? 5:05.
Your daughters will have to finish 3 hours ahead of you.
No, my concern is cooking for Shabbos.
No, you cook the day before. You don't cook that day. Everything's ready. All you have to do is put it in the fridge. You have to put it on the platter. So you don't cook on Friday. On Friday, you eat.
Okay.
Eat and drink, exactly.